Hey, Whiskeys, looking for a laid-back shopping experience in Santa Rosa? Let me tell you about Flora Terra, my go-to spot for all things cannabis. They've got three convenient locations, making it super easy for me to swing by no matter where I am in town. The vibe in there is so charming. It's like stepping into a boutique where wine country meets weed. But here's the kicker. Flora Terra recently changed their sales model, and now they're offering a consistent 25% off every single day. And get this. Just for you, they're running a special promotion. With any purchase, you can snag a single can beverage for just a penny while supplies last and an extra 10% off your entire purchase. Use code WHISKEY, that's WHISKEY, if ordering online or mention this ad when in store. But hey, even if you miss out on the penny deal, don't sweat it. You'll get 25% off, and when you mention Whiskey and Lace at checkout, you'll get an extra 10% off. So if you're ready to elevate your cannabis shopping experience, head on over to Flora Terra today. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. Flora Terra, where wine country meets weed and quality meets affordability. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older, and please consume responsibly. Are you someone who doesn't take life too seriously? Do you sometimes find that a shot of whiskey isn't only deserved, but needed? If you said yes to either of those, welcome to the Whiskey and Lace podcast, where we have honest chats with everyday people, shit shows and all. I'm your host, Erica Altus, and I'm here to empower you to be the best version of yourself and perhaps share in a shot of whiskey. Now pour yourself a glass of wine and let's go. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Whiskey and Lace podcast. This is the final episode of season two, which is so crazy to think that I'm already done with two seasons of this podcast. I feel like it was just yesterday that I launched it. And you guys are really loving, it seems, my solo episodes. I always find them kind of awkward because I'm just in my bedroom, literally talking to myself. So it's kind of weird to carry on conversations, but I'm getting more and more used to it. And you guys really like it. So I figured, what the hell? Let's give you guys more of what you want. And so in season three, I'm going to try to be doing more solo episodes for you as well. But today I was like going back and forth on what should I talk about. And I get a lot of questions about the content creating space. So I thought it would be a good idea to have this episode kind of geared towards that topic. As you know, Whiskey and Lace wasn't always a content creating space. And you guys can listen to a past episode that I did. I think it was episode 10 about how originally Whiskey and Lace came to be, because it wasn't always just me and it wasn't in like an influencer space. It was an online boutique, but I feel like we've touched on that. Like, let's move on. And if you want to hear that story, I think it's episode 10. You can go back and listen to that one and how Whiskey and Lace originated. But I wanted to talk about the aftermath of that. What happened next, if you will? And it was interesting because all of the demise of Whiskey and Lace, let's call it Whiskey and Lace 1.0, went down in like July and August of 2015. And my blog and revamping my brand into a solo brand and into blogging didn't take much time. I think I was kind of like in a survival mode when this was all happening, and blogging was really becoming a thing, and it looked really easy, which I quickly found out that it's not. So I was like, what the hell? I'm a creative person. I love to host parties. I like to, you know, cook. I like to be creative. And I felt like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I'm just going to go at this as if it's a hobby. And so I decided to rebrand and rework our website that was once a boutique into a blog where I was just going to have creative things and share things on social media. I had no fucking clue what I was doing. I kind of went with it, and I would watch all these other girls because during this time it was really up and coming. And so I would just kind of try to look at what other people were doing, but do it in my own way. Well, not really. That's kind of lying. I tried to copy a lot of them, but it felt very awkward to me, if I'm being honest. And it wasn't coming easy because it just felt so staged. But I did that for quite some time. And so somebody asked me on my stories, they were like, did you have a plan before going into this? And the answer is yes and no. Obviously, like, I needed to have a plan on, you know, what I was doing. I needed to rework my website into being a blog instead of an online boutique. I needed to rebrand the, you know, the entire brand itself into more of who I am and who I was, and as a part of the, you know, the first part of Whiskey and Lace. That took some planning, obviously. But like, as far as a plan on where this was going to go, did I know it would turn out to be the way that it is now? No, like not at all. In my wildest dreams, I didn't think that I'd be where I'm at. In the beginning, I really did look at this as more of a hobby. I was still working full time for Roxy and Quiksilver. And so I couldn't really just like take this on full time. And so I just started sharing, really, is how it happened. And I started kind of looking at not my competition, but what other women in my space were doing, and did it in my way. Cause I really was trying to do this in my way. I wasn't trying to like directly copycat people, but I was like, oh, what are they posting about on their blogs? And would give me ideas. And then I would post about it in my way. So how did I come up with the idea for this space? It really just kind of, it came out of nowhere. And I just launched it. There was no real idea behind it other than putting my thoughts to paper and generating content that I thought people would be interested in seeing. That's kind of where it started out. And what was it like starting out would be, it felt foreign. It felt a little forced. It felt like I didn't know what I was doing. I was kind of faking it till I made it, if you will. But that took a long time. And a lot of people have asked, you know, did you make money right off the bat? The answer is no. It was actually driving Mark crazy because back then with Instagram specifically, everything was like perfectly curated. Everybody's feeds had to be like, you know, done by professional photographers, and everything needed, like I used to use the app Planoly, and I would plan out my feed so the colors went together and everything was shot for me by a professional photographer, and it didn't feel like I could post anything other than that. It was quite exhausting, to be honest, and it was very expensive. I had to pay a photographer every time if I wanted content. So I would hire Andrea to come over and I'd have like 20 different outfits and we would just start shooting, and it took a lot of planning. It became a chore and it was not enjoyable for me. And I'm so grateful that the world in Instagram and influencing and content creating shifted towards what it is more so today, which is like towards real life content, relatable content, not having to hire and stage these perfect photo shoots, like this unattainable fucking bullshit life. Like I would literally, you guys, like I'll never forget, like I threw a pizza party with all my little, you know, nieces and nephews, and I'd get them little chef's hats. And I wasn't actually doing this. I just did it because I thought it was a cute idea for a party, but it was like, I turned it into this stage photo shoot and into content. I would come up with these ideas and I'd have so much work into making them into these staged things. And it really started to become something I wasn't enjoying because it felt like a lot of work because it was. Then I've shared this story before many times. So if you've heard this before, I'm sorry, it's redundant, but it's really truly where my shift in the content creating space shifted, where I finally had that aha moment. And it was when I was pregnant with Charlotte. And I was like, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to talk about something that's going on, which was totally TMI. But it was when I was dealing with hemorrhoids. I know, gross, but it was true. And many women that are pregnant deal with them. So I decided to just come on my story randomly in my kitchen. Because again, even stories were more curated and like more, they weren't as relaxed, or at least for me, they weren't. And maybe I was doing it all wrong, but that's what it felt like. That's what it felt like it took in order to succeed in the space, was like, everything had to be perfect. And then I quickly realized that real people in the world didn't want that after talking about hemorrhoids. I talked about it and then I saw my DMs just flooding with like, thank you so much for talking about this, Erica. Like nobody ever talks about this shit on Instagram. Like nobody talks about it in general, but it's something that women deal with all the time and it fucking sucks. You know, like we call them roid rages because they literally are terrible. And so then I was like, why? It started just sparking this, like, again, this aha moment of why am I trying so hard to be something that's not truly who I am, which is more relaxed, fun, funny. I will touch on topics that people don't normally touch on. Like, why am I trying so hard to be something I'm not? So then my job ended up getting easier because I just started showing up as who I really am in real life. And it made it a lot more simple. And our phones started getting a lot better with the cameras. So I didn't need to rely on hiring somebody to come over, because if you hire somebody to come over, you want to like maximize how much you can get out of it because you're paying this photographer to be there. So like you better like have all the things ready, you know? But now with my phone, it's like I can pick it up and be like, all right, I'm going to create content. It doesn't need to be perfect. Nobody wants perfect. In fact, people appreciate that it's not perfect. So it made my job easier and it made me like it so much more. And I rolled that into even, you know, once I had Charlotte, I would show that I had bags of ice on my boobs because they were so engorged because I was dealing with mastitis. I showed the messiness in my closet and I just kept kind of showing like what was actually taking place in my life, which was messy motherhood during the newborn stage. I mean, I'm lying. It's always messy, even if it's not the newborn stage. But I just started showing that and it just felt like, or it made me realize that people are yearning for realness on this app and just from people like me who for so long were pretending that my life was perfect and it really wasn't. And I should just like apologize for that now that I was like that, but I didn't know any better really. And I was just trying to tap into a world that was foreign to me and that was all I was seeing. So I tried to mimic it. So anyways, that's kind of what it was like starting out. And people ask me on my stories from like in the past, did people like your friends ever pass judgment or talk shit about you as this is a pretty small town? And the answer is absolutely 100% yes. Like this person said, this town is a small town. And still to this day, I know people talk mad shit about what I do. And I truthfully don't give a fuck. For me, in the beginning, yes. People that I know and love, I know were talking shit behind my back. They were like, what the fuck is she doing? Because again, this was kind of new. And for many, probably seemed incredibly self-centered. And that was hard for me to get past because yes, it was all about me, but I was really trying to show up for other people and suggest things for other people. But I could see how they would think that way. And just like she's went from this thing with her friend and she's at Roxy and Quicksilver, like, what is she doing? But honestly, you guys, like I let that kind of chatter and noise fuel me to be like, I'm going to prove these fucking people wrong. And not that I'm like at this point now where I'm like, told you, but it is kind of funny to be honest. It's like, I just kept my head down. And I believe that people who have the time to talk shit about what other people are doing aren't truly happy with themselves. Happy people will be there to support people and their new ideas, even if they think they're going to fail. I have friends who have started so many different companies and I'm like, oh God, like this is never going to work. But girl, how can I be here to support you? You know, like what's the point of talking shit? Like we should cheer people on that are trying new things because that takes so much bravery, even if it fails. Like I had already failed at one thing and it wasn't a failure in my eyes anymore. It was like, no, that was a stepping stone to get me to where I am today. And I learned a shit ton because of it. So like anytime somebody comes to me and they're like, I want to try doing this, this, and this, I'm like, do it. And what's the worst that can happen? You may fail. Oh, well. But like to pass judgment on people is just to me such a waste of time and energy. Like go out and do something to better your life or better your community because you're a hater. And I truly believe in karma. And so I don't like to put that kind of energy out there. So to answer your question, yes. And does it still happen? Yes. And word gets around. And if you're local to Sonoma County and you know people that I know and you're talking shit about me, chances are it's going to get back to me. And guess what is even funnier is that I've had people who I know have talked shit behind my back and then they'll see me in real life and they don't know I know. And I'm just like thinking in my head, like, I know what you've said, you know? And I lose respect for people like that because it's like, A, say it to my face or ask me the questions because you're assuming shit that's not even true. And B, like, get a job. You are fake as fuck because you're sitting here talking about me behind my back, but then you're coming up to me and saying hi and acting like you know me. I would rather somebody flat out come up to me like, I don't like you. I don't have respect for you. I think what you do is super self-centered. Like, I'd be like, all right, sweet. At least I know how you feel and you're telling me to my face. But the people who do it behind my back and then pretend to my face, that's like the worst. So anyways, I just try to ignore that and block that out. And if you are somebody who wants to tap into this space and you notice that people in your life are chattering behind your back, my biggest advice to you is let it fuel you. let it fuel you into just putting those blinders on, keeping your head down, and being like, you know what? I'm going to do this. And not just for like the sake of doing it to prove them wrong, but doing it because you want to. And that's what I kept finding that I loved this, and I wasn't going to let somebody's judgment of me stop me doing it. Like, why would I do that? You know? And so it is interesting because now some people who did have questions or judgments in the past, like they're so supportive and I get it, you know, and people talk and I also get that too, but it's calmed down a lot. But in the beginning, yes, it was very foreign and it looked very self-centered. So yes. And somebody asked, how did local people treat me? And now, then, and now, you know, I'm really blessed to have such a large local audience. The majority of my demographic is based here in Sonoma County, which is such a blessing because then I can really target businesses here, travel here, and events here, and different things happening in wine country. And everybody that I've really come in touch with has always been very, you know, lovely. It's not like I'm Kim Kardashian. I always say that, but it's not like I'm Kim Kardashian and I get recognized everywhere I go, but it does happen often. And everybody that I've met has been so incredibly kind. I'm so grateful for this local community. And I love that they step up to help me anytime that there's a community need. And I'm like, hey guys, like go support this local business. They're struggling. And they do. And I think that's really special. And I was born and raised in this community and we have our faults. There's a lot of shit that's wrong and going on in this community that it sucks, but we're a large city and it's just, going to happen, but there's a lot of good and there's a lot of really talented people and businesses here. And I love that I get the opportunity to highlight them and share them with other locals and with people who aren't local. I've always been treated really, really well, to be totally honest. But there's also been like other things, which I'll touch on in a little bit. But somebody else asked, has this position ruined any of my friendships or relationships in my life? And no, truthfully, it hasn't. I mean, that I know of. I don't know if people are resentful towards me in any sort of way. I can't imagine that any of my good friends or family are. I won't name names, but there's definitely been, you know, some family members who have been very confused by what I do and think I'm crazy and things like that. And to which I say, oh, well, let them feel that way. But no, it has never like gotten to the point where it's like ruined a relationship. I can't imagine that anything I'm doing would equate to that. I don't know. I just don't think that I'm putting anything out there that really deserves a relationship ruined over. So no, it hasn't. Next question was, how has a landscape in the influencer space changed since starting out? Well, I kind of already touched on that. The perfectionism has gotten a lot less, which is great. I think businesses in the beginning weren't sure how to utilize content creators to help their businesses. I know that especially locally, they didn't really understand it. Like, what do you mean this girl is going to come here? She's going to talk about my business and then what? And what's it really going to bring me? And I've really had to educate a lot of brands and businesses about the return on investment that I'm not just going to necessarily show up to your, let's pretend, winery and just get a tasting for free. I know that this sounds privileged, but like, hear me out here. I'm going to be yielding you so many sales and I can prove that because you can give me a code. Those people are going to book an appointment to come wine tasting with you, and they're going to use my code, and you're going to see that having me here is going to bring you income. And so, and I can prove it. That's the other thing that's awesome about influencer marketing is that like I have analytics to back up my talent, if you will, for lack of a better word. I can directly say this many people clicked on my link to go to your business. This many people used my code to book you business. So I never want to work with a brand or I don't want brands. I want to yield a return on investment is what I'm trying to say for every brand that I work with. It does not behoove me to work with somebody one time and then go, well, I got one customer out of it. No, like I want to organically share something that I love and people trust that because I've always been somebody who only shares what I love. And I just know that there's people behind me who are, we're all always looking for recommendations, right? Like whether it's your dentist or where I should go to dinner, like I want to go somewhere based on recommendations because how else are we going to know if it's good or not if, you know, someone's never been, I don't know. That's just kind of, that's how I've built my trust. I don't really know where I'm going with this. In any case, I can prove to brands that I can bring them sales and I can, and it's a really effective way of marketing. And sometimes it takes them taking a chance on me, but I have yet to work with somebody who's like, meh, that didn't really work. And if it didn't, then maybe it just wasn't like the best organic partnership. But for the majority of the brands that I work with, it works out. And I'm grateful for the brands that give me the chance. But in the beginning, it was really hard to tell them how this works and why this works and that they should trust in it. But that's gotten a lot better. It's obvious that that influencer marketing is a big thing and brands are spending billions of dollars putting their marketing dollars into it for a reason because it really is effective. So that's gotten a lot better, but it's, you know, I would say it's obviously gotten a lot more crowded. Like there's a lot more people in the space, which is great. I don't see anything wrong in that because for me, like nobody's going to replicate exactly who Whiskey and Lace is. They're just not. They could try and that's flattering, but they're just, I am who I am and they are who they are. And there's room for everybody in this space, but it's definitely been, there's a lot more. So I guess you could say that like getting picked for a campaign, there's a lot more fish to pick from. Fish. You guys are probably like, what the fuck is this episode? But like people to choose from. I got that from like, you know, there's many fish in the sea. Okay. I'm going to move on from this. So then somebody said, when did this go from just a super time consuming hobby to a moneymaker? And the honest truth is I didn't really start netting a positive income in a way that like was like, okay, this is like a full-time job income probably until 3 years ago. I don't know exactly, but it took a long time. Like let me put it to you this way. If you are looking to become a content creator and make money right away, good fucking luck. Just good luck. Unless you go viral, you know, or you really have somebody in your corner that's like putting you out there in a way that like all eyes are on you and you've got this trust instantly in your audience to be able to sell things, you're not going to be making money right away. And that's true to say for, I feel, any industry, like to walk into an industry and just think like, I'm going to make, you know, $100,000 or more or whatever. I don't know. Like usually you have to start somewhere a little lower and work your way up. And I think in this space, you definitely have to do that. Everybody has started at zero and you've got to work your way up and build the trust in your audience. And then once you can prove to brands that people are clicking on your stuff and people are buying what you suggest, they're not going to give you money to sell their product. They may give you product to sell without money, but, you know, and that's where I started. I was getting gifted stuff far more than getting money for years. But again, I had my other job. So like, I liked the fact that I started this as a hobby because it took the pressure off of me financially. I know that's really hard for a lot of people to do, to go from like a full-time job to also having something like a hobby of influencing on the side, but that will help you financially unless you have like disposable income and you can afford to just do this and not have a job with it. Realistically, that's not everybody's case. So that's how I would enter it because that's how I did it. But again, it took me probably 3-4 years to really start making, you know, it took me really getting my manager in place to where she was pitching brands for me before I really started making a consistent income. And that just takes time. And, you know, you gotta work your way up before you get to that point. So just start out with it. It's like, take the pressure off and start out with it as like, you know, if money comes, great, but do it because you love it. And the biggest tip that I have, and I've always said this, is you need to stay consistent. I was just talking to a friend last night and I'm like, the hardest part about social media is showing up consistently. It is by far where people just like, they don't continue doing it because it is hard. It's like, sometimes I do show up, I'm like, what the fuck am I going to talk about today? But like, I find a way to lean on you guys as my audience and throw up a questions box, you know? The app is all about engagement. And so you need to engage with the people who are there. Even if it's 200 followers, ask them what they want to see and they'll spark ideas for you. You got to go back and forth. This isn't all about you. You have to like give people what they want and answer questions that they have. And so stay consistent. And you guys, I've tried to talk Mark into this. Like he hates social media. I'm like, dude, you could do so much more with your social media with like real estate, but I just don't have the time to like hold his hand through it. But I'm like, just, you know, on Mondays, throw up a questions box. On Tuesdays, go on a tour, and he'll do it for like a week and people will see us and be like, Mark, you're doing really good at social media. I'm like, yeah, give him 2 weeks. Because staying consistent is hard. I've had lunch with many people who want to tap into becoming a content creator. And I tell them this and they're like, all right. And then there's so many that's like 2 months later, I'm like, oh man, like they couldn't figure out how to stay consistent. It's the hardest part. But also staying true to who you are is highly important. You know, what can you bring to the space that's different than what you're seeing. Like, what do you want to see in social media? What do you wish you saw more of? Do that. And what's true to you? Do that. You know, it took me a little bit of time to go from hobby to moneymaker. And I wouldn't say it's like, I'm not making millions here, you guys. Like, there's definitely misconceptions, which we'll get into for sure. Actually, let's get into it now. Let's talk misconceptions. A lot of people think that influencers, all of them are building houses and all of them are buying mansions and everybody's getting free shit and people are having children for content. So let's tap into misconceptions. I can only say before I tap into this that I can speak for myself. People may see that I built a house for content and that couldn't be further from the truth. Did it help me create content? For sure. But you guys have to know that like my husband's in real estate. This was like inevitable. This had been something that we wanted to do prior to me being an influencer. He loves real estate and I think, you know, have a knack for pulling together a beautiful home. He's been in construction. I've always admired interior design, even though I had somebody helping me with that. So don't get me wrong. Chelsea was a huge part in how this home came to be. But as far as like doing it because I needed content, no, an opportunity presented itself and we always kind of knew we wanted to do it. Now, can I say that other influencers don't? I can't imagine people are just like, let's buy a lot and build for content. There's so many elements in this, you know, like, and who knows? No, not everybody knows everybody's financials. Like, I think oftentimes too that a lot of people don't know that influencers' husbands may be making a ton of money and it's not necessarily the money that they're generating from being an influencer that's building this home and financing this home. There's so many elements that go into this, the financial side of this, that I think that is a big misconception, but I can see how seeing it and seeing everybody building these homes and buying these mansions, it would be daunting. And then again, you like feel like you're not living up to this like perfect expectation. And I can see how that is for sure. And I would just say if it's something that's bothering you to see all the time, then unfollow the people because it's not worth your happiness. And comparison is the thief of joy. So like, don't do that to yourself. But as far as us like getting a bunch of free shit, yes. Yes. I mean, I will be the first to say, like, I get on PR lists and sometimes I'm like, where the fuck did they get my address? And for me, and again, this sounds so privileged, but hear me out. Getting all that free stuff can be actually freaking annoying because I don't have space for it. I don't need any more skincare products, you know? And I'll like tell a brand, like, please just send me these three items. And my manager thinks I'm nuts. She's like, do giveaways. And I'm like, I know. I'm like terrible about doing like all these monthly giveaways. I need to be better at that because I could be giving you guys this stuff. But I would rather run on, I find a brand organically through a follower or through a friend or through a family member. I try it. I like it. I have my brand manager reach out and ask them to send me stuff. That's how I would rather do it rather than just getting all these things. And like, I got to a point where it's like, I don't want any more skincare stuff. Like I need to focus on one. And I did, which I'll talk about in my stories because it's amazing. And she approached me. She's like, how about this skincare product? I'm like, no, I want to just focus on this one. Just this one, because I actually really love it. And I don't want to try something else. I just don't want to try anything else. But as far as like other free shit goes, like when we go to a hotel and stay there, oftentimes that is all negotiated on the back end. Mark and I determine prior to any vacation we take, is this going to be a business vacation where I'm working or is this going to be something where like we're just going as a family and I don't want to have work attached to it? Because as cool as it sounds to get a hotel for free, there are requirements. There are deliverables that I'm responsible to do and I need to do them well. So I have to be on my phone. I have to be distracted. I have to get posts up. I have to edit. It's not like it's just like, oh, I get to go there and have a free vacation. No, there's work attached to it. And whether you want to see that as easy until you do it, I don't think you quite understand. And it is great. And again, I don't want to sound privileged. This is just a part of my job. But I think that there is this misconception that like, oh, must be nice. It's like, well, yeah, it must be nice, but like I'm also doing something that helps the hotel or the restaurant, you know? And I'm not one of those people who is always reaching out, like I'm going to a restaurant and I'm going to reach out, let them know I'm coming. I actually don't do that ever, unless it's a part of a work thing. Like when I went to Nick's Cove, it was like, okay, we work in what's being taken care of. Is it our food? Is it our stay? Is it both? Is, you know, and then what are their expectations in return? Oftentimes too, we're doing this on a trade basis, which is great. But you guys, trade doesn't like pay our mortgage. So I would love, what would be great is if more travel places like hotels could realize that like, okay, yes, we should trade for these things, but also like a rate should be included. And we try to work that in. And sometimes it does happen because sometimes what they ask for and my rate don't align with just the trade, if that makes any sense. But that's just me being totally honest. It looks like we get a ton of stuff because we do, but that's just kind of a part of it. You know, like you guys want to get recs from content creators. Well, they need to get products to try and brands want brand awareness and they bring awareness. So it's just kind of like the cycle, but it's not always the best thing ever, to be totally honest with you. I'll do more giveaways so I can give away some of my shit because I've got like two boxes going and I'm like, my closet is getting overkilled. And then the other one, you know, another misconception that people have, or a couple more, having children from content and landing campaigns because of it. All right. I would never have a child. I mean, I'm not having another child, but I would never have a child just for content. I don't know. You're bringing a human into the world, like kind of a big responsibility, and it goes on for the rest of your life. So to do it for content seems odd, but I do know that there are people who do. I don't have the incentive to do that. I never did because, or at least right after I had kids, I finally realized I don't want my children to be a part of my content. So for me, it would make zero sense to pop out children for content. I don't utilize my children for content. So why would I do that? But I do know that there's influencers out there who literally before they have their baby, like snatch up their Instagram, you know, handle. And to me, I'm just like, damn, that's a lot. That's thinking ahead. They get the Instagram handle, they have the baby, and then they generate this whole Instagram, and these children have these Instagram accounts. And I think what the parents, my only assumption, which I shouldn't have, but like, this is just me being totally honest. I think parents assume that the kids are going to be set up for life because they've grown this audience and this digital footprint for them. And they're handing it to them like it's a house, like it's an investment, like we're investing in their, you know, career. To which I say, maybe that would work out. Maybe the kid grows up and they're like, damn, mom and dad, thank you so much for thinking that far ahead. And now I have a million followers and I'm just jumping right into what I've been doing my entire life. But I'm going to say, but what if that child's like, fuck you guys. I've been doing this my whole life. I want to get away from people seeing me. I don't want to be public anymore. So I think there's a fine line. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see 10, 15, 20 years down the road. I don't want to say repercussions, but see what happens. These kids might have burnout, you know, from constantly creating content since the time they were born. And to which I say, I couldn't blame them. And I mean, sure, there's going to be ones that are so successful and they're like so thankful and they just jump right into what they've been doing their whole life and they continue the success, which is great. But I can't help but think that there's going to be some backlash, to be totally honest with you. I mean, we're living in a time that they didn't have this kind of shit when we were growing up. So we'll see. And then the last misconception, and maybe it's not, but the perfect life. Again, like it goes back to like, I was playing that role for so long and I'm sorry that I did that. And to know better is to do better. And I hope that when you guys come to my space, whether it's the blog, I mean, the blog is very curated. It's hard to make it so it's not perfect. But when you come to my Instagram or go to my TikTok, I hope to God you don't think that like my life is just perfect. I try my best to show up exactly who I am. And like, I just burped on my podcast, but I can see, and it really frustrates me to be totally honest with you. I've had to mute some girls because I'm just like, dude, do you ever fart? Like, do you ever have a bad day? You know, and not that I need like, and I don't think that everybody needs to show up and show like every bad day that they have. I don't do that. But like from time to time to show the imperfections to me is what I want to see in a content creator. I want to see people talk about some things that have substance behind it and not just the next Sephora sale. But that's the content I enjoy consuming. Not everybody does. I think that there's a lot of people who love following people who are perfect and who show their perfect clean homes all the time. And well, granted, my house is pretty clean all the time because my husband's OCD. But I need more. I need more depth behind the people I follow. I need to know that there's something more behind them. I appreciate perfect, beautiful homes and family photo shoots like the rest of them. But like, give me a little bit of imperfection too. That's just where I sit. I can see how a lot of, especially moms, just, you know, are constantly feeling like they aren't living up to this expectation because what they're seeing on social media is all perfect. And again, to which I say, like, if that's how you're feeling when you're following somebody, then I suggest that you either mute that person or you unfollow them. I don't think you should be following or viewing content in your life that ever makes you feel like shit or makes you feel less than who you are. That's just where I sit. Speaking about feeling less than who you are, people wanted to talk about trolls and haters. Someone asked how I deal with mean DMs and comments. Have I always handled it the same way from the beginning? Oh gosh. I've gotten a lot better at dealing with this because being in this position, it's inevitable to have people come in and who are mean, who are judgmental, who assume things that aren't true, who project onto you, who have expectations of you and don't even know you. And that, like, a constant thing that I'm battling, not daily by any means, but it's just comes with the territory. And in the first few years, it didn't happen as often. It really started ramping up in 2020 when everybody just was like, we had so much going on. And I just think the energy in the world was just so noisy. And that was really, really, really hard. I pulled back majorly just for fear of being canceled or just having people unleash on you. Because for me, my nervous system can only handle so much. And whether I come off like this person, like, I don't give a fuck, words can hurt, whether they're from a person you know or even a stranger. And you can say all you want, like, oh, just block and move on. But sometimes you guys don't get, like, there are some things that people say that are just, they're just awful and they're nasty. And you're just like, what the fuck? You know? And yeah, I have this like new slogan that I adopted like a year and a half ago, which is like, blocked and be blessed. I'm blocking more. I used to like not block people because it was like such an abrupt, like, nope, fuck you, you're out. And I just felt like that was so harsh to do. But lately, not even lately, like in the last year and a half, it's like, no, I would never allow that kind of language used towards me in my home. And I see like my Instagram as like my home base in the digital world. And I'm not going to allow somebody in there who's just constantly, because chances are, you guys, this is actually really interesting. If somebody sends me a shit DM, I always scroll through my DMs with that person. And what's so interesting is that the thread is 9 times out of 10, maybe even 10 out of 10, someone who has just been constantly negative, has something negative to say no matter what I'm doing, is mean, is spiteful, is contrary, just constantly in my DMs. And I just like then ask myself, like, why the fuck am I allowing this person in my space? Like, you're only here to be a dick. So bye, blocked and be blessed. You know, like, you guys know I'm in my DMs every day for the most part. It is me who's in there. It's not a manager. It's not an assistant. It is me who's in there answering your guys' DMs, talking to you. And for the most part, everyone is so lovely. Like, in fact, like, it's one of my favorite aspects of my job because you guys make me laugh every fucking day. I enjoy getting to know people. There's, you know, it's funny because I don't like actually know these people, but like, they feel like my friends, you know, and most of them are so kind and make me laugh and just are great. But then there's just those ones and you almost start to like notice like the profile picture, like, God, that, I feel like that person's been a bitch to me before. Like, you scroll up, you're like, yep, that person is an asshole, you know, and just has no good intention being here. They're just looking for something to bicker at me about. And I'm just not going to allow people to like, I'm not going to allow myself to be somebody's punching bag constantly. So dealing with it is taking, how I deal with it is I take a step back and I really like, I find empathy and sympathy towards the person. That's how I get through it. I'm like, damn, that person must be like really like not in a happy place in order to say those things to a complete stranger. Because whether you guys all think you know me and whether or not we are like Insta friends, which I so appreciate, it's still just a snippet of my life. If it was one of my best friends coming to me and saying something mean, I would for sure take that into consideration and not just like be like blocked and be blessed, you know, like, no, like those are people who know me in my real life. But for anybody that is able to go in and like speak to a stranger in some of the manners that I've been spoken to, I just have to find empathy in order to deal with it. Like, and sympathy, like, dude, that person must be like, because how many people don't do that kind of shit, you know? And I'm fine with people disagreeing with me. I have a lot of really great conversations because I typically, you know, I'm the type of person who will bring up those hard topics. And I do have people who are so great at disagreeing with me. And I respect that so much. There's a total difference between being a troll and a hater and being somebody who just doesn't agree with me. I don't want everybody on my space to agree with me all the time. I want to learn from other people. And I've learned a lot from being in my DMs and talking with people. And I have so much respect for somebody who disagrees with me in a respectful way. Because I'm here to learn and I'm not always right. But if you do so in a way that you're a total asshole and offensive, like, yeah, I'm gonna shut it down. So it's not as bad as it used to be in 2020 and 2021. It's gotten a lot better. And I've grown much thicker skin. I mean, you guys have to understand that, like, I'm producing this content for free. So if it's not serving someone, it is readily available for them to vacate the premises. So I'm not holding you here. You are not paying me to be here. This is all free content. And if it is not the content you wish to consume, there is an exit strategy and you don't have to tell me when it happens. Yeah, that's just where I'm at on trolls and haters. And the thing is too, that people don't realize is that, like, a lot of people are like, well, you kind of put yourself in this position. It's like, does that mean I deserve it? Like, does that truthfully mean that somebody is entitled to come in and be an asshole? No, I really don't feel that it does. The other thing that's really hard is the expectations. Like, you should be touching on this topic, or you should have touched on this topic in this way. And I always just want to say, like, that's great, Becky. Why don't you start an Instagram account, build a following, and you do it? And you tell me how easy it is. Because I've used this analogy before, you guys, and I'll use it again. We all know how hard it is to talk about topics that are really difficult to talk about, like religion, politics, social things going on, any complex topic. It's hard enough to talk about those things at your kitchen table with your family and friends. Now open that up to 12,000 people in your stories. Think about that. And all those opinions that come in. I literally have learned that I have to be in a certain place in my, like, again, my nervous system to handle it. I know that there's different times of the month, to be totally honest, where it's like, I can't handle the conversation because I'm heightened to how people are going to respond to it. And so I've gotten a lot better at that too. Like, if I'm emotional about something, or if I'm just emotional in general, I'm not bringing up controversial topics. I'm just not doing that. So the expectations, though, of you should do this and you need to be doing that, you need to talk about this, your silence is deafening. I have learned to just be like, fuck off. If you want to talk about it, you go do it. And I have to say this too, because it kind of goes hand in hand. When someone says your silence is deafening about something big going on in the world, just because I'm silent on social media doesn't mean I'm silent in my everyday life. Give content creators the time to process what goes on in the world too. I think it does a disservice to our entire world. And I think this is where we are finding so much divisiveness, is because people just, like, go off and they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They don't have any education behind it. They don't have any expertise behind it. So, like, it's irresponsible to just go off on a topic that's happening. Like, let people pause. Let people have conversations with people in the real world, like with their family members, with their spouses, with their friends. I do that all the time. I have friends where we go on walks and we talk about all the things happening in the world. I don't necessarily feel like that means that because I'm not coming on my social media and giving my opinion about every fucking thing happening, because we know that there's so much happening all the time, especially in an election year, that it doesn't mean I don't care, that it means that I'm deafening. No, it just means that, like, I want to sit a minute with my thoughts and process this and see how this plays out. Because I've seen before, when I've just jumped the gun and shared a story, how well that fucking turned out. I'm going to learn from that. Pause. I think we all just need to fucking pause. Like, calm down. And I think it would do all of us a favor. But that's just where I'm at. So, like, if you ever think about coming in my DMs and like wishing I'd do things differently, just don't tell me. Write it in your notes, because until you do it yourself, like, it'd be like somebody, here it is. It'd be like somebody going into your workspace and you're doing your job as you normally do. And they're like, you should be doing it this way. I think that you should be, you know, doing it all these different ways, or you should be talking about this. It's like, fuck off. It's like micromanaging. And I'm all for feedback, but the shoulds and the I think you need tos, no. Like, you can give suggestions, but like, don't have the expectations. All right, let's switch gears. Somebody has asked me, have I ever considered quitting or switching careers? And if so, what do I see myself doing? No, I've never thought of quitting. There are times when I get into major creative slumps, or just like, I don't want to show up today, or tomorrow or the next day. You guys notice that like oftentimes when I go to Tahoe, I'm not really generating content, because that's just like my place to my special place. It's like my sacred place. Sometimes I will. It just isn't how I feel. I kind of lean on that. But never to the point where I've like wanted to quit. I've always thought about, okay, like, are people going to care about my thoughts when I'm 55? I'm 40, people. Like, how much longer do you care about what the fuck I'm doing in my life? So I've thought about that, but I just take it day by day. But no, quitting has not been an option, or, you know, something that's crossed my mind. But if I did, what do I see myself doing? I mean, I would probably guess that I would team up with Mark. Don't use this against me, Mark. Like, don't like hold me to this. But like, I could see us like diving way more into the real estate world together, where like he deals with the negotiating side and I like deal with like the creative side of things. But that's kind of like what I could see myself doing otherwise. But I'm really happy with where I'm at. I like the direction it's going. I will say that I am the worst at, I have like different ideas every fucking week. It drives Mark crazy. I'm always like, oh my God, somebody should open up this and do this, 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 and this, this. Oh my God, we should do it. We should do it. And he's like, oh my God, stop. Like, just focus. And I lose focus because I'm always trying to elevate as a creative person. I'm always like, am I doing enough? Do I need to do more? Or like, what avenue can I go in next? And he gets like, oh, okay, I started a podcast. Now like, oh, should like I start like a different, should I start doing cookbook? Like, should I do this? Like, I'm constant, and I'm bad at just like being in where I'm at, focusing on what I'm doing, and not constantly trying to go to the next. I need to be better at that. So I very much went off the question itself, but that's my answer. And then somebody did ask a good question of, this is the last one, I guess. We're almost to an hour. Jesus, I've talked a long time. What would I like my followers to know? How can they help me grow my business? And are there any mistruths about me that I'd like to share? How can you guys support my business? I think I've spoken to this many, many times. I don't think people really realize how much just a like, a comment, and a share, and a click on a link without even buying anything, how much that helps my business. Just listening to this podcast, if you are listening right now, seriously, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, you've been here for now 50 minutes with me as I've rambled by myself. And just that alone is so supportive. Again, I'm not like charging for this content. So like just you consuming it, finding my stories, reading my blog posts, liking my reels that oftentimes take hours to make, and saving them and sharing them. Oh my God, sharing is like the biggest thing you guys could do. It's probably the most requested thing, but it's the hardest thing to ask for because it looks selfish. Like, hey, can you go share my reel? Hey, can you share my podcast? Like, it always just feels weird asking people to do it. But that, because when you share it and you have even 50 people that see it, that is 50 new eyes possibly, or, you know, 25 new eyes on my business and my content. And that helps. Clicking on my links is huge. You don't even have to buy anything. But when we go to pitch brands, when my manager goes to pitch brands, they ask, okay, can we get a screenshot of your analytics, your click-through rates, and things like that. So just clicking, the higher my click-through rate is, the more likely they are to team up with me, to where I can land campaigns. So that's huge. Leaving ratings on my podcast is big. I know that you can only do it once, which is so fucking annoying. And leaving a comment, I know they're hard to find. Apple does not make it easy to find where to leave a comment. That is huge. But for my podcast, I feel like sharing it on your, like if you have listened to any of my podcasts and it really like resonated with you, like if you could please share it even verbally, I don't even have to see it, with somebody that, you know, you think maybe would enjoy it too. That is really, really huge. And then I guess the other question was, are there any mistruths about me that I want to like clear up? Not really. You guys know, like, I feel like I pretty much show up as who I am. I think that what you see is what you get. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I would be surprised if my family members and my friends would tell somebody, no, that's not, you know, who you see on Whiskey and Lace stories is not who she is in real life. And if you feel that way, will you tell me? Seriously, I really try to show up here exactly who I am in my everyday life. I hope that one of my goals is when people meet me out and about or at an event that they leave going, yeah, that is exactly who I thought she was. I don't have the time to be fake. I don't have it in me to be fake. And I guess one misconception or mistruth that I could touch on is intention. I think we've got, and it's not just towards me, I think it's to people in the content creating space in general. I think that a lot of people think that people's intentions aren't good, that there's something self-serving in their attention, or there's this bad intention behind what they're doing or what they're saying. And I just hope that people know that I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to fuck up. I'm going to do things or share things or say things that I'm going to misstep. I'm human. But I know deep down who I am. And I can truthfully say that in everything I do, my intention is good. So yeah, I'm just excited that I'm elevating this brand and people are really liking it. I have a lot of ideas kind of behind the scenes going on right now. And it's kind of annoying because I don't know which direction to go in. I feel lost sometimes. I could cry because lately I have really been feeling a little like confused on what's next. Or do I just stand still for a bit and just focus on what I have? That's what Mark would like me to do. But I do have so many great ideas. I just need a goddamn team to help me get there. Cause you know, I'm a mom on top of this and a wife and a sibling and a friend. But I do know that this space is so very special and this community is so very special that there's so many things I want to do and I'm excited to do. And I just can't get the cart before the horse. And sometimes I need to check myself and slow down a bit. That is what Mark always tells me to do. So anyways, I always find it awkward to wrap up these podcasts when I'm by myself, but I hope you guys learned a little bit about the content creating space, my journey in it. If there's any other questions that you have, feel free to shoot me a DM or leave a comment here on, you know, wherever you can leave a comment and a review. But I just appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for listening to the Whiskey and Lace podcast. We're wrapping up season 2. I'm excited to see what season 3 brings. If you have any ideas of guests you'd like me to interview or solo topics you'd like me to touch on, let me know. I'm always open to suggestions because I'm running out. Anyways, you guys, thanks for tuning in and we'll see you in season 3. All right, friends, that's all for today's episode of the Whiskey and Lace podcast. If you liked what you heard, please share the love and leave a review. And remember to join the Whiskey and Lace community by following me on TikTok and Instagram at Whiskey and Lace. And send me a DM to say hi and mention this episode. I'd love to meet you. See you next week.